Welcome to Game Chat, the video game book club on the internets. I'm Jonathan, ramshackle host for this evening. No idea what's going on, but that's great. We are playing, we are chatting our week three chat for Alan Wake. About the final two chapters. Alan Wake was originally released way back in May of 2010. Master was released a few weeks ago at the beginning of October 2021. It's developed and published by Remedy Entertainment. Platforms. It's on everything. The Nintendo Switch. Well, Xbox 360, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, PS4, PS5. Steam, the original Epic Game Store for the remaster. This award-winning cinematic action thriller, troubled author Alan Wake embarks on a desperate search for his missing wife, Alice. Following her mysterious disappearance from the Pacific Northwest town of Bright Falls, he discovers pages of a horror story he has supposedly written. He has no memory of. Wake is soon forced to question his sanity as page by page the story comes from the story comes true before his eyes. A hostile presence of supernatural darkness is taking over everyone he finds, turning them against him. He has no choice but to confront the forces of darkness, armed only with his flashlight, a handgun, and what remains of his shredded mind. His nightmare's journey to find answers to the mind-bending mystery he faces will lead him into the terrifying depths of the night. We always start out our chats with an intro question to help you get to know who's chatting. There's only three of us tonight, but our intro question for tonight is, if an object from your childhood were to be imbued with darkness-destroying magic, what would it be?
All right, this is Franco, starting at the top. Thought about it for while Jonathan was doing all that, and I think fond memories of going to bed and listening, setting the radio on by my bed on, you know, the 60-minute thing, or maybe even longer, or just leaving it on and listening to the radio, going to bed. And my favorite one was, I think it was on Sunday nights, Dr. Demento. If anybody even knows who that is.
It's like a Twitch streamer.
Barry Hansen is what comes up when I pull up Dr. Demento.
He had a radio show, obviously. He had a radio show. Mm-hmm. And he played all quirky music. He was the first one to actually introduce Weird Al.
Really?
Yes, he gave Weird Al his
wild
stuff. Yeah. He had a syndicated radio show, Dr. Demento. Play all those quirky songs, like, God, I can't think of their names now. Anyway, I have to look it up.
Yeah, Wikipedia says, specialize in novelty songs, comedy, and strange or unusual recordings, dating from the early days of phonograph records.
Yes.
He has a degree in ethnomusicology and has written articles and liner notes for recording artists outside of the novelty genre. And then it says a whole bunch of people here that he helped get started. Harry McClintock, Spike Jones, Benny Bell, Yogi Jorgensen, Stan Freberg, Tom Lehrer, and Weird Al.
That's the Spike Jones is the one I picked. Well, Spike Jones is a really quirky from the 50s recording artist.
Oh.
Fancy. I feel really underprepared for mine now. Cool, but Jonathan has to go next.
I'm Wake walking with the radio and novelty music.
Might have helped.
Backlight! darkness brings the light. right. up with this question, you'd think I'd have a good answer prepared. I kind of waffle between, like, I have two items in my head. One is just a childhood item that I always had. But I think I, like, mentioned this item in another game chat intro question. Like, I've talked about it before. It's just, like, this little Auburn Tiger figure I got by my grandma, great-grandma's, when she passed away. Like, I still have it. I'm pretty sure I've mentioned that somewhere along the way. So I'm going to say, when I was in Cub Scouts, my dad, who was like a master, he was just helping me. Like, he saw that I was, like, kind of into, like, just building things, like, engineering stuff wise. And, like, I remember one weekend we just did this project. It was Taylor for a Cub Scout thing, but it was just kind of for the fun. And he's kind of teaching me about electronics. And basically, we just got, we cut a 2x4 in half, went to Home Depot, bought a little battery pack, we bought some wires, we bought, like, a switch, a mechanical switch, and just a little light bulb. And then, like, we, like, just like screwed it all into the block of wood, and, like, the wires are sticking out. It was totally bank. It had this, like, really satisfying, like, switch, because I got to pick out the switch. And it was just like, this stupid little light thing that I made with my dad. But, like, the bulb wasn't very bright, but, like, I remember when we built it, my dad was like, okay, let's build a case so, like, all the wires aren't sticking out. I'm like, no, I like all the wires sticking out. It looks like a mad scientist invention. And he was like, okay. And I might still have it, like, somewhere buried in, like, a closet or something. But I think that's a good childhood memory. Because I had it for a long time, and I remember one time the power went out, and that was, like, honestly the only flashlight kind of thing I had on me. So I just, like, walking around the house in the middle of the night, a 2x4 with a light bulb on, put into it. Yeah, I think that's the evil darkness.
This whole time, you've had your own clicker.
Yeah, except mine made more sense because it was connected to an actual light bulb.
It wasn't just a random switch you let your kid play with.
That's exactly. Wire stickers.
Like a mad scientist.
Yeah.
I had a nightlight that was kind of an anthropomorphic rabbit wearing a dress, sitting in a rocking chair, holding a child anthropomorphic rabbit. And you plug it in, and it's got the little rolly switch on the cord where you click it on off. But I used that nightlight in my room as early as I can remember. That was my nightlight until quite a long time, because I shared a room with my sisters up until maybe, like, middle school, probably, is when I finally got my own room. So, and I probably still would have been fine, honestly, some nights still having that nightlight in my room. See if I can find an example on the internet. Somebody else has one to show you.
Right. So, let's just jump right into it.
Yeah.
It wasn't really new mechanics, anything. If there are, we'll get there when we just go through it. But let's start with episode 5. You know, left off with Alan and Barry getting wasted with the moonshine, the Asgard moonshine. Then I was like remembering everything, waking up to Nightingale with a gun in his face, called him James Joyce, and so that picks up Ian Allen waking up in jail, and
like you do,
yeah, like you do, and Alan's freaking out because he doesn't have any of the manuscript anymore, and Barry's, you know, throwing up in the prison cell, and then Nightingale and Sheriff Breaker walk in. Nightingale's not really making sense. The span of like four lines of dialogue calls Alan Wake like six different authors. I was very impressed. I was trying to think, has Nightingale like said the name Alan Wake at all in this game?
I don't think he ever said Alan Wake.
I don't think he knows who he is.
It's crazy. And then the Sheriff Breaker like instantly on our side and was like, "Oh, Nightingale, you drunk. Calm down." Then Nightingale pulls a gun on Sheriff.
Like, yeah, just pulls a gun in the middle of the police station.
And
like you do.
And then the evil smoke monster comes and grabs and takes Nightingale away like it's some like episode of Lost. And then Agent Nightingale. I'll be honest. Why is Agent Nightingale in this game? What is his purpose?
I have no idea. You know, they need a little bit more. I mean, this game's full of exposition, but Nightingale is short on why he's around. You know? Why is the FBI now in Wake?
To be a grouch bucket. I have no idea. Because we need an antagonist that isn't the darkness, I guess.
Maybe.
it's so strange because it's like so much other stuff is like almost like the point of like almost over explained sometimes, and yet Nightingale's just like he's just there. He's an alcoholic. Then like I think even Sheriff Breaker even talks about it. It's like she's like, tell me why the feds are even interested in this case. He's like, I'm not telling you. And it's like, don't, like, I honestly expected there to be a big reveal that, like, Alan, like, literally created him just for the story. But then, like,
yep.
That would have made
unless
sense.
Unless that's in a manuscript that's locked behind nightmare mode.
Yeah.
It could be, honestly. I'll never know.
Yeah.
I was expecting this episode to like finally explain who Nightingale was. And like not even 5 minutes into the episode. Ah, Felicia. There it goes.
You get sucked into the outside and never see you again. Yeah. Playing this post control, like I was really expecting for him to be like from the oldest house and gotcha. Somehow associated with their organization, just kind of like going off the deep end, and then nothing. Nothing. Not even like Jonathan said, like not even like whatever space Wake being like, yeah.
My nemesis, Nightingale, or anything like that.
I needed someone to move. I needed someone to push the story forward. You know?
Nope. Right. Nope.
The daylight. I was like, no. Even like the page Nightingale drops, because like, you know, he stumbles because he's like, wait. He said he read all of the manuscript, and he's like, wait, I remember this moment. It like...
Right.
Page, like I expected, like the page, like it would just tell the story of how he was taken. It went like super, super meta. It's like, remembers the moment of the moment. The moment he realized he read the page where he saw this moment. And it was just like, ah, my head hurts.
I don't care.
It was, it made me realize, like, this is if The Departure, and as an actual book, would be the most confusing, frustrating read. You know?
Yeah.
On the bright side, hey, Earthbreaker is now, like, fully committed by your side. And,
yeah.
You know, she's like, all right, let's load up. Box the shotgun, you know?
Yep.
And Barry... Nice. Use Barry at the station to call the secret Bright Falls Society.
Yeah.
Night Springs.
Night, code name Night Springs.
Story.
Yeah.
That sounds... I want to know that story.
Way more interesting.
It really does. And, like, we finally hear about, like, her father... It's like there was a manuscript early on that like talked about how her father, Alan Noake, reminded her of her father. It's like now we know why it was less creepy than the first manuscript made it sound.
Yeah.
It's just that her and her dad like read his novels and she thought her dad like hero in his books, which like that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it was fun, like all the like the the radio host, you know, he's part of the secret society.
Yep.
And the doctor.
Yeah, it's like that's fun. I want to play that game.
Yeah, it was. I regret not hanging out by the window and listening to Barry make all the phone calls. I think you know you can sit stand there and listen to like three or four calls.
I went back for one, and it was. It was Barry just like chatting, like, "Oh yeah, we'll get you an advanced copy of Alice's book. Yeah, we'll get it signed." You know, it was just like, "Hey, now we finally get to see Bright Falls. This is the first time we've been able to walk around Bright Falls
proper. Yeah,
and we have a decent NPC that can kill things.
Oh yes." Yeah.
And it's like timely. She's so good.
I know. The flashlight and the shotgun.
Yeah.
And she just like, it was so nice. Although there were a couple times she got like stuck behind something.
But, yeah, I was on it.
It was so much nicer in retrospect as I, you know, as we finish up doing that walk through the town. And, you know, investigating the town rather than wandering aimlessly in the woods for the umpteenth time.
It was such a nice departure.
With defined boundaries and buildings to explore and, you know.
I know. It, like...
A bookstore. Like,
there's a bookstore. Yeah. There was a cranky neighbor.
Yeah.
Like...
That's all that shooting!
Yeah, like, that also answered a question I've been wondering, like... realize that people are being possessed and being like dying, you know. It's just but I love how there's the bookstore, you know, there's even the quip about even though Alan's only been there a short time, the bookstore
is set up what did he do right under a pseudonym or
I don't know.
Bookstore put all his books out on an end cap or on a display, and they're like,
maybe
they pulled everything.
They pulled everything they had out of storage and have all his stuff out front. And apparently, they've been doing a good business on like the rumor that he's in town.
And then I liked seeing, you know. It was just a fun environment. It was still creepy, you know, because it's like set up for the Fear Fest, so you get that creepy carnival vibe. And then, of course, there's spooky church scene.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where it's like, oh, we could only get the parking lot in this small town by going through the basement of
the
church?
Basement of the church.
I was just like, oh.
The church has candles burning all night long with no one in the building.
Oh, Deerfest Eve.
Deerfest Eve.
It's tradition.
Is it weird that, like, Bright Falls, or the people of Bright Falls, it's themselves, they're, like, more fascinating to me, the main, like, conflict of this game? I guess you could say it's, like, it's because of the power of the lake or something that makes, like, the creativity of this town different. But, like, there's this doctor running in this, like, sham psychiatry cabin that takes over celebrity artists. There's these rock and roll icons at a farm down the road. And this very popular deer fest. You know, that there's a secret society. Secret Society's whole, like, joke was that they think Bright Springs, the show, is this universe's
it's based on their town.
Yeah. So it's like, know more about Bright Falls, you know? I might, because I mentioned it weeks ago when I just found it, but there's a 30-minute like short film, live-action short film, that's a prequel to Alan Wake that released as, like, webisodes on machinima.com way back when. Cool. It's like, I'm gonna watch that. Yeah, so go through the creepy basement, you do everything. There's a scare where you think Barry died, almost, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
All of us, like, crashed on him. Then he comes out, you know, and He-Man Barry, decked out with Christmas lights, flare guns, a headlamp.
Yep.
Calls the Eye of Sauron.
Well, he calls it the Eye of Mordor.
Eye of Mordor, you're right.
And then he acts all embarrassed, and this upset me. Sheriff's like, yeah, you shouldn't say things like that, like, giving him grief for being a nerd. And what she should have said was, actually, it's the Eye of Sauron, not the Eye of Mordor. But
that would have been
better. If they couldn't.
That's Madeline's retcon.
There you go. I like that.
Wonder if the phrase Eye of Sauron is trademarked by, like, Warner Brothers or something. Oh, that's why they couldn't say it.
Probably.
But
probably.
Then it's like,
now we owe them money. Mordor. Say it again a couple of times.
I'm sorry. No.
We'll get it in post.
Then it also, like, brings up the fence, like, if it was, say that specific, why even bring it? I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's too hard about it. But it's fun. Everyone loves Barry.
We do. Yep. We do love Barry.
And now we got two NPCs that can actually do stuff, you know? And then you get to a helipad. Then they both get into the helicopter, and of course, the helicopter takes
forever to spool up.
15 minutes. And you have what this, like, this game loves to do, the horde mode. It's like, okay, get ready. At least, like, I feel like as it went on, the game was more generous. The supplies it gave you, like, in front of those battles.
Yes. Until this point.
Yeah, this one was okay.
I don't remember it being too bad. Frustrating, I don't think.
Not because
Sheriff Breaker was there.
It took forever.
Oh, yeah.
It took forever, and then after she got it going, I'm like, oh, things are going okay, and there just seems to be a limitless number of ammo, right? So it's like, you know, do I, you know, I started, like, foolishly trying to, maybe they hit something.
I got so frustrated because there were so many times I'd hit the, like, gas tanks that are scattered around.
Yeah.
Sometimes the gas tanks would, like, do a lot of damage or something. And then other times they didn't do nothing.
Yeah, it was really hit. Pardon the pun, hit or miss, but Well, that was the. When does that part come up? I think it comes up after this, after the helicopter crashes. I think in chapter 5, there was the one building where it's all, you know, you crawl over a fence, you jump over a fence.
Oh, gosh. I think that key to that part is, like, you have to get away. You have to run through them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. There's no way.
You can kill. I tried many a time.
Yeah. So right before that moment, the helicopter, you think you're safe, but then you're not, of course, because it's Alan Wake. Alan jumps out, and they're like, okay, we're right next to the power station. Just gotta walk over. Of course, you know, longest walk distance to get to this, to get to this power station. But that moment, it's like you're in a warehouse and you jump down off the fence, and then there's tons of guys just there.
Yeah. And it's like,
but did you?
Yeah, it's like impossible. A bunch
of birds there too, I think, right there.
Yeah, so, and then you get to the door, and it's like, oh, maybe if I just run to the, you know, sneak or, you know, run around, play a little dodgeball, you know, ring around the rosary with these containers and stuff. But there's like four guys waiting right at the door, like the exit. It's like, mm-hmm. Good Lord, you gotta have a flare ready.
And, you know, there's a couple of those moments where you had to like shoot off the lock to the gate to open.
Oh yeah, once you did that, it was chaos.
You did that, you got
swarmed.
That's what these final two episodes did a lot more than the others. Of guys,
yeah.
Running right behind you.
Yeah, a lot of
yep.
A lot of little triggers that spawned, you know, mini hordes or hordes of these guys. And, I think one was turning on the radio in the warehouse. It was the chain, like you said, the chains of the chain door. There was another one. I think you started up something and that triggered.
Yeah, you know. There's a couple moments, and I think it's like I don't have a problem with that kind of gameplay. Just it's like it's so weird because it's like Alan Wake is designed to be an action shooter, but it's not. You know,
not with his mechanics. No,
it's
a little clunky for that.
You know, I never played Max Payne. That Remedy made Max Payne, and like those games were made action shooters, and he had slow mo bullet time and all this stuff. And it's like you knew how to make action shooters, but then
they tried to work in this, you know, this light mechanic where you have to, it's a two stage battle, you have to activate these guys by, you know, shining light on them and taking the darkness away. So that really adds a big layer of, you know, you just can't go Rambo.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, I'm glad they did give you better flashlights as the game progressed.
And then take them away. You know?
But it's like every action movie I've seen, almost every horror movie I've seen, they make guns with lights on them.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
There's all kinds of attachments you can buy for all your guns.
I know. And tell me there's not, like, at least, like, one gun shop in this.
Like the general store where Barry was.
This is the upper, this is the Northwest. Yeah, they have gun stores, a lot of them.
There's hunting rifles and shotguns everywhere.
Yeah. They're there for Deer Fest, where you go shoot deer. Like,
it's like just battles are just so slow. They turn into a slog, and it's like you don't look forward to them.
You can't get away, so you have to, You have to be very methodical, and it's tough knowing, you know, when to hold them and when to fold them, so to speak. It's like some battles are, yeah, this is definitely winnable. I think I, you know, just got to be smart about it. But the other ones, like the warehouse, it's strictly, you just got to go. You just, you cannot win this. There's a couple areas, this one, and a couple areas in chapter six where it's just like, they just keep sending them.
Like in, the, in the tunnel, or past the tunnel, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, you just got to go.
Yeah, and like, you know, we keep talking about control stuff, but it's like, I think that was something I kept expecting in this game. It's like, when I finally take down somebody, they give me something.
Yes.
You know, but none of the enemies give you anything.
Nope.
They don't like recharge your flashlight. They don't
drop bullets. Ammo. Yeah.
And it's like, see, I understand.
There you go. If they implemented the stupid melee, those sickle guys would have dropped sickles.
You could have something to at least throw back at them.
Yeah.
I've said this every chat. There needs to be a melee button so you don't have to use a bullet to knock down the stupid tin cans.
Yes.
You can just kick them over.
Exactly. I tried to like
knees on them.
Ease it and like jump on top of them. And I almost killed Alan Wake, so I stopped. But,
yeah, I think I only shot like five. Because of that reason.
I shot
like,
one.
Damn it, I need the ammos.
I shot one because I reached a moment where like I was hoarding so much ammo that I was like, okay, I know I'm not going to use all of this. So I was like, shoot one tin can. I think that was towards the end of this level, or like some point, I think it was in this level. Like at one point I just had so much stuff because I tried to be like so conservative with all my ammo.
Yeah.
That's another thing is like never know when like keep all your ammo, use it. There's so many of those like horde battles or make you think it's a horde battle that there's only like two guys.
Yeah,
and you realize, oh, I just used my one flare gun on the two communist sickle guys, you know? Take two bullets.
It was odd at times.
I'll say one thing I liked about that one terrible warehouse that you just had to run through is it had one of those radios to listen to Pat Bane. It's just always there. And I laughed because it was like, up next is a band that always reminds me of our own old gods of Asgard. Don't ask me why. And it's like Poets of the Fall. And and it's like, now that like I'm like just the past week, now that I know to look for them, it's like I've like liked all their songs on Spotify and everything. But it's like Poets of the Fall is the real life band who plays all the writes all the old Gods of Asgard songs in the Remedy games. I thought that was funny. It made me think that moment was supposed to be another like sort of like mini concert moment like they had last episode. Mm-hmm. That it was like, nope, I'm supposed to run out of this room. But I thought that was, I like those kind of collectibles, the radio and the TV that had like added content, you know, like diegetic like content.
Yeah.
Thermos bugs still bug me.
Yeah.
Coffee thermoses still bug me. But anyways. You're finally on your way. Power station. You go through that electric maze.
Yeah.
Which that's. I found out by accident because, like, I used a shotgun, like, pushed one of the guys back into electricity. Electricity is instant kill. All these guys.
Yeah. Oh.
And. Again, that's like, oh, a melee button where I could push them would have been great.
Right, into the,
That also, like, came up in episode 6, because you notice there's some levels that just have dangling live wires.
Yeah, mm-hmm. the big area at the end, yeah.
And it's like, if they run into them, they're insta-killed.
Yeah.
And, oh, I know I was supposed to use them, but I have to shoot, like, 50 bullets to knock them back.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, and forget about trying to kite them into the...
No. Then there was the revolving bridge puzzle
thing. Yeah, I was like, what am I... okay.
Nothing told me that it was going to keep rotating.
I panicked. I thought, oh my God, I'm going to miss it.
And that was that was unnecessary, I in my opinion.
But the second
I almost walked off of it again because it like I waited too long and almost walked off the side I walked in on.
It was funny. It's like I missed it, and then I started I realized it doesn't stop spinning, and I'm like. I started running to the other end. I'm like, what am I doing? I'm just stay at this end and wait for it to come around again.
You know, like, yeah. And then, like, I think there's, like, ravens, like, crows or, like, poltergeists or things flying at you. And
yeah, just
I'm just, like, just
be a pest.
Get to the place. and then you finally leap to the power station and the big reveal that Weaver's the one even all the cash symbols. The symbol is the symbol for the power station.
Yeah.
Oh. And that was a little anticlimactic to me.
And that was
He had been like he had been talking about that for the last like week. Was like, oh, she's the one. We have to get to her, the Lady of the Light. Because he'd been talking about it for the last 3 hours or however long it took you to get there.
Yeah.
So by that point, we're like, no, I know. Just let us in. The well-lit room. Give me the thing. Let's go.
Wait. We got to shut off power to the front part. And of course, the power switch is across these three, this puzzle gate challenge.
Which was, totally did by accident.
I just pushed buttons until it worked. I didn't figure out the system. It was like, I've said this literally every episode we've talked about this game. That, like, jack of all trades, master of none.
Yep.
It's like,
a little of this, a little of that, and none of it works.
It's like you don't bring in puzzle mechanics this late into the game.
Yeah.
Literally.
And then getting back, you just had the time to run, right? It wasn't even anything sophisticated.
Yeah, and it was like, even that was like unnecessary. It's like
that was one or two deaths, because it was like, oh, I'm supposed to.
It's like, why does shutting off the power
keep these things going?
Floodgates go nuts. It seems inefficient.
Right.
For a power station.
And why does a power station have floodgates?
It's like hydroelectric power.
Yeah, I think it's true. Steam. If it's generating steam, yeah.
It's still.
Yeah, it needs water. It needs, generating steam.
Also, I feel like most of the time the enemies that pop up, it's like they pop up from distance or from things they could have hid behind.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's at this point of the game where they're just like, oh, they're just spawning right in front of you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ugh. And it's like, I think the worst part is like, you know, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Played through this game so much. It's like,
Yeah, it's not good. Just let me
know. They're gonna. It's like, you get to a cache, and then it's like, oh, you know, they're giving you way too much of this certain item, so you know that there's gonna be guys right behind you. But,
yeah.
You finally do that, and then Weaver's like, all right, let's go through the tunnel. And I will say, at first I was like, oh no, there's going to be a moment where all the lights go out of the tunnel. It's going to be a creepy right. tunnel scene. Then I was dreading that. Then
instead,
then my true nightmare actually happened, because you hear the helicopter crash, and all of a sudden Alan's like, Mary and Sarah. It's like, oh, we're calling her Sarah. Okay. And then, and then he jumps out of the safe tunnel into more woods. Hooray!
And like, he jumps out, and he's like, gotta go save him. And then like, just kind of like jumps down a hill with like not looking what's there and like no plan. And it wasn't even like, and it's in the, I think this is the one where it's in the cinematic where he just kind of like absolutely eats it, like completely face plants when he falls.
Yeah.
What is the point of this? Like, why? We worked hard to protect all that health, and then you're just gonna like,
oh no, I dropped all
dive
my,
down
all
the
my
hill.
Stuff. Yeah. And, yeah. And then, you know, Sheriff and Barry, they're fine. They're shooting stuff on a hill. You reconnect with them. Then, oh, there's so many more moments of, oh, you gotta hold this.
Hold the button.
You gotta hold the button while we get inside.
And once we get inside, of course, the door's gonna slam.
And
you gotta fight a horde to get, you know.
Fight more hordes. And you finally, you get to the dam, to the top of the dam. I don't even remember how you got separated again. But
well, because the elevator slammed shut or something.
Oh, yeah. That's right. You held the door open and they got inside the dam. You had to climb on the outside and climb up to the top.
Is then that the stupid dodgeball again?
Yeah, that's the dodgeball run.
Things falling.
What's the in like the pop like the endless runner mobile game?
Oh,
Temple Runner or something. That's what this part reminded me of, where you just like it's endless runner. Alan Wake, the endless runner mobile game.
Yeah, and platforms are collapsing, and it's like,
oh, I died so many times at this one
point. Oh yeah, just like guessing left or like, right. Oh, guessed wrong.
And like, if you stand there for longer than 3 seconds, you fall.
Yeah,
it's like, and it's only at those moments where it's like, oh yeah, there is some kind of, I have to hold the sprint button.
Mm-hmm. There's one part where you have to time it just right for the long jump.
And then, like, I noticed one point when you turn a corner, like, if you were literally standing in just a few, just, like, pixels over, you would have been crushed by a falling car.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, it's a cool action scene, but at the same time, already, like,
yeah, I'm so done with it.
Down. I'm tired, you know?
Yeah.
It's such a slow-moving game while, like, throwing things
at some point,
you.
And then start throwing stuff at you. There's a couple of times when that whole sequence, it was like, you know, me doing a little secret hunting, and it's like, oops. Made a wrong turn.
I want to do secret hunting, you know? It's like, I want to find all the collectibles, but I'm too afraid to veer off the track and be ambushed horde.
In the forest, they'll just throw a horde at you. And I just by the end of chapter 5, when we hit the woods again, I was like, that's it for secret hunting. I'm just like, unless it's buildings,
you know.
I'm not wandering off into the woods. I'm full steam ahead.
It's like, unless I actually see it, page is over there. Then you're running, and then finally all meet back in another elevator. Everyone's there. Lead you to the well-lit room. Which also find, like, you did talk so much about Weaver, the lamp lady.
Yeah.
It's but like
she was actually, you know, involved with, yeah, Zane and Barbara.
Yeah, it's like, it's that, like, classic trope of, oh, she loved Zane. He loved Barbara. Unrequited love, but I hold his secrets now in my old age. Okay.
Creepy.
It, like, once again, it's like writing tropes. You have to wonder, is it writing tropes because technically Alan Wake wrote this story?
In a way, right.
Or is it just bad writing?
Right. Like, which is it?
Yeah.
Or is it just a really clever way? Like, my bad writing. It's Alan Wake's bad. Like, it's like, I don't know
exactly.
If it's, I don't know if it's a cop out or genius.
Like, we meant it to be stupid.
But
I would discover the magic clicker.
Yeah, in Zane's magic shoebox.
Yes.
Like, everyone would forget him, even though they didn't. You know? It's, like, I'm still confused about how reality warping powers the writing in the lake work exactly. Then, because Alan even, like, says the thing where he's like, I wrote this in. I wrote Zane and as an out for my story. Something, and so I was so confused because it's like, wait, did Zane write Alan Wake into existence, or did Alan Wake write Zane into existence?
And how did
Alan just write the story he heard about Zane and Jagger?
Very Inception-esque.
It's like, oh, don't do this to me.
Zane wrote Alan writing Zane.
Yeah.
Because holding it
upon itself.
Because like Zane's whole story is like Alan as a kid. And so it was like, I thought it was this whole like big, like twist that Alan Wake is the fictional character. Which, honestly, that would have made a lot more sense.
I would have been okay with that.
Yeah, that would have been, okay.
But a little no, loop. Alan just wrote that little bit in. I don't know. The clicker. Chekhov's clicker that we saw in episode 2.
Yep. Got to bring it back.
We didn't know the clicker belonged to Chekhov, but there it is.
Good thing it was established for reasons. I know.
And then that's. Yeah, that's the end of episode 5. I feel sorry for Weaver, because Weaver's all like, finally, someone here to take my place. It's like, Al's like,
nope.
I don't know what you're talking
sorry.
About.
I got like, work to do.
Also, like, Barry, you need to take the sheriff's gun.
Yeah, why? What?
Yeah. Right, okay, like, yeah. She wasn't waving it around. She wasn't pointing it at anyone. Barry, take her gun.
No, she wasn't even threatening to stop him.
Whatsoever. She was offering to help, too.
Yeah,
like,
all of a sudden.
Like, all right, let's go.
He's pointing his gun at the sheriff, and I'm like, what is this?
Made no sense.
Made absolutely zero sense.
Episode 6, the last episode. Big finale. Start off with a flashback. Flashback just show you that Alan's a jerk.
Alan's a jerk. Worst interview ever. It was just so cringe. It was like,
it was so weird because I noticed it's a live action. They're doing like the F&B thing, which I love.
But like all the other stuff, yeah. Yeah.
Like Night Springs.
The voices don't quite match up. Yeah.
It was like, why?
Yeah.
Because that one, they put more production value into it. You know, it taller, looked like an actual night.
Yeah.
And it's like a late night. And I've seen actor who plays Alan Wake do like a lot of these like FMV stuff as Alan Wake. And like, he can be super charismatic and funny and wild and everything. And I could, if you watch it, if you like look at the FMV, you see him like being all emotive and everything and like really like going into it. But then the Alan Wake dub is like, yeah. Super funny. Like, you know what I mean? It's like very bland, and it's like they filmed the whole segment, and he got into it, and then later on, after he recorded half the game, they're like, oh yeah, you're gonna have to dub over yourself from we did the fake interview.
And be like, bored.
Oh. Okay. I mean, it's like, I guess we learn big reveal was that he like killed off his character, like his best character, his books. Like, that's why he's in a writer's rut, like, I guess.
Well, that was part of the interview, right? That he's talking about the novel that he
killed. And so I think that was the big thing. It was like showing why he's in a rut.
Maybe.
Still not sure why this was like the opening for the last episode. Like, if anything, I think the clicker flashback would have been better as the flashback to open up this one. Mm-hmm. Then you're like, oh, what's the clicker from his childhood? I don't know. But yeah, it's just weird, because then he snaps at Alice, then is immediately okay. Mm-hmm. Makes me think that Alan has some issues he should probably talk to a therapist about.
Yeah, he's not exactly. Yeah.
Like, and Alice deserves better, even though she has like five lines.
Alice, find a story where you can be a real person.
Yeah.
I did like how that the FMV how it ended, and they're like, also thanks to Sam Lake. Alan Wake and Sam Lake. Sam Lake, with that look, the guy just like looks at the camera. And story I've now since reading up. Blake is actually the real writer for this game, which that was actually him. And like, so it's like, I like the, still like the whole like home video aspect of these FMVs. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, we're gonna use the last of our budget for these because we have fun and just film stuff around the office, you know. And what was even more funny is that there was another Poets of the Fall cameo.
I was going to say, I thought they came on right there at the end.
The actual band that walked up behind him. So it's like, I love that Remedy has like this actual relationship with this band, you know? Now we're back in the well-lit room. We get the whole, like, the sheriff's gun. And Eva no longer has lines. She's not important to the story.
Right.
You get the clicker. The clicker makes it A. It's
insinuated, yes.
It's kind of ambiguous of the powers of the clicker.
But it does eventually get dark, I mean, as you go along.
Yeah, so it's like, why didn't you just click it again then, Alan?
Yeah.
I was waiting
for that mechanic. I was waiting for some special mechanic. Now that you had the clicker.
Nope. That
like
was
a super
the girl
flashback.
I was watching you play. Yep. She kept being like, why can't I just push the clicker? Why do I have to keep shooting all these people? You have the clicker.
Nope. You're allowed to. No, you're not even. It's like, it's just like, it was daylight for so short a time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, and you're going for a drive, and you know, and switching cars like you're being followed.
Mm-hmm.
yeah, exactly. Thank goodness.
Like, oh, here's another car. Let me try this one.
It's like a relay race. You know, it's like pass the torch. Torch is Alan Wake. Pass it to the next car. Go. Even though it's like,
yeah,
I understand they did that in case, like, didn't get in a car at one point. It's like,
or if you
those stretches, him. Alan Wake is so slow, and those stretches are so big, it's like, who would not forget to get in a car?
Yeah.
Who would just walk this?
Although, I did find, after one long stretch, there was a break with lumber equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with the hidden cash.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, all right, and it worked. Once it rewarded me for stopping and looking.
Yeah, I like that. And there's a couple places like that where it's like, oh, you're stocking you up.
Yeah.
Then at the same time, it's like they stocked me up with a hunting rifle and I never shot it. You know, so it's like,
no, if I had the shotgun and I had decent ammo, I'll stick to the shotgun.
Yeah, exactly.
Too long to reload the hunting rifle. Yeah.
And most of the time, there's a couple times in episode 5 and episode 6, it's like they almost purposely like tried to mess with you and offer you hunting rifle, then like purposely only give you shotgun rifle the rest of the level. You know, it's like,
nah, we got you.
It's like they try to trick you, and it's just like, no, I'll stock up on my shotgun. Thank you.
Yeah.
Was
this 6 was the second bridge again, right? Was that chapter?
There's so much going on in episode 6, even though that it was all pretty much a straight line.
Was like 8 deaths.
Oh, is this the bridge where you do the
poltergeist bridge?
Yeah. Yep.
Yes.
Then there is one where you get on the little minecart, and it's the slowest minecart ride ever.
Oh, yeah.
I know. I was like ready.
Lighting up birds for that, you know? It wasn't that.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the birds only like attacked you once. It was the shortest. Like, I mean, it was the slowest moving minecart, but it was also like shortest minecart segment. Like, I was ready for it to be like Donkey Kong Country 2, like levels of like craziness. Like, I wanted it to be like Indiana Jones Temple of Doom, like roller coaster minecart. Like, Easy Six Flags ride, you gotta shoot while you're flying down. It was like, beep. Okay, get out, it's gonna fall.
Yeah, it felt like they were like, somebody was like, oh, we should have a minecart, and they're like, yeah, and then they went to do it and they're like, oh gosh,
it's episode 6, we don't have time.
But we told him we would, and so okay,
we'll just make
it. And you've tiny minecart, no fun at all. Here you go. But we put it in.
then hey, oh, I was wrong. There is a new mechanic. There's the pushing mechanic.
Oh yeah.
Hey, you finally learn how to push things out of your way, but only if they have a yellow stripe on them.
That area was like, well, first of all, yeah, leading up to that, they're loading you up something fierce. I mean, all over the, you know. I think I was fully loaded on shotgun. I had 32 shotgun shells. I had, I had, I think 7 or 8 flashbangs, like 7 or 8.
I never
flares.
Used my flashbangs. I just realized.
Really?
I stocked up on flashbangs and I forgot to use them all.
Oh, good for you.
The whole game or for this part?
Just this part.
Okay. I was like, you're missing out if you never use them.
And this whole, well, first of all, the part where you get to the junkyard, right?
Mm-hmm.
I got out of the car and I walked over the first thing and I'm like, I don't think I was supposed to get out of the car. Because you can't leave that area, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like a long walk all the way around. I'm like, oh man, I hope this doesn't, you know, they give you a whole bunch of car intended hordes while I'm walking.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't even talk about the car boss battle with the like the truck with the monster truck with the flaming decals.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
Yes. That was pretty easy. I dodged it and it crashed and it couldn't figure it out how to back up. So I'm like, yeah, well, there you go.
That was just one of those parts where, again, I was just like, okay, this is in this game too. Okay. All right. No, just just might as well. Only thing we have left is the kitchen sink, you know? It's like,
just dodge once and hose it with light, you're done.
I joked in our notes that, like, episode 6 has it all. It's Alan Wake's greatest hits. You got driving, you got running through the woods, you got platforming, you got puzzles.
Yep.
You got boss battles, you got the obvious, you got the teleporting speedy gardeners who...
Oh, they're horrible. The ones that blink in and out.
They were annoying. Yeah. They were annoying the first couple times you fight them. But the game never teaches you, like, really that they're that big a deal. And then they show, like, throw 50 of them at you. Like, every 5 feet. It's like,
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just... Yeah. And then there's that bridge. With all the poltergeist things. And then you get to the end of the bridge. And there's another... possessed crane that, like,
just
don't know if my glitch
you in a corner.
Glitched. There's an invisible wall. You can't go to the other side of the bridge in that moment. I don't think. I think it was, I just started shooting flares at it. I was like, I don't care anymore. And then I still almost died. Like,
I got to that point. And I think the truck that you walk past slams behind you, so you can't go back. And you have to, basically, it's really hanky because it's the way that crane operates. You know, it's like you can easily get stuck in a spot and it just wipes you out. And then you have to go all the way back to the beginning of the bridge.
Oh, I know.
And I was like, what, are you kidding me? You couldn't have gave me one checkpoint on this bridge?
Nothing. Nothing.
Yeah, that's another thing. It's just like, I just remembered, you're playing the original release. I'm playing the remaster. Why haven't any of this stuff been fixed?
Right, exactly.
Or made better, you know?
Right, exactly.
You're literally playing the exact same game.
Yep, nothing's, none of the mechanical things that have been spruced up or addressed or even improved.
He gave it a spit shine and put in new QR codes.
Yep.
Yeah, Alan Wake remaster.
You know what this needs? Facelift, literally. That's all we're doing.
That's it, yeah. That bridge.
Yeah, I forget, tons of areas that just load you up and then, you know, make you do some shooting. But then the big Wild West area with the water tank and all that. And it's funny.
Like the moment I saw those spotlights just sitting around, I groaned.
I didn't even use them.
Really?
I was loaded up, and I just systematically made my way. I mean, I died a couple of times because, you know, it throws a couple chainsaw guys at you at once.
Yeah.
But by then, I had a couple flashbangs, and I was just, like, spamming flashbangs.
I hated that it's like there's the two smaller spotlights and they send like three guys your way that you can like kite and stop and shoot them and everything. You go further down and then there's the big spotlight. You're supposed to shine and kill everybody. Yet the camera angle for that, you couldn't see past the spotlight. Mm-hmm. It was terrible.
You couldn't see behind you.
Pointing.
And then they spawned a bunch of guys behind you.
Yes.
And you can't turn the giant spotlight. Like, use the spotlight to kill two guys. And you're just like, oh, you better run. I don't know if the strategy is to, like, fight the chainsaw people in front. I don't know.
I noticed there were, like, two or three of the teleporting guys, the guys that blink in and out.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like, maybe for them. But, like I said, I had plenty of flashbangs when I was just spamming them. I would use a flare on those guys, like kind of pin them in one area, and then once the chainsaw guys came out, it was like, all right, flare gun, hit them with the flare gun.
I kept missing with the flare gun.
I thought I was dead on them, and it went through them a couple times, and I'm like,
you're cheesing me. Don't put in real world light physics in this game now. Gosh.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah, that then the yeah, that was the last big thing. That was it. I mean,
I think so. Yeah, yeah, because then you go through the mine, and it's more just like dodging everything, and
yeah, a little bit of dodgeball.
Like she like it's all the poltergeist stuff that's like flying at you. Then you get to like the like cliff. You got to fight the tornado, or
yeah,
yeah.
At first, I'm like, what in the world am I supposed to be doing? It's like at first yeah. I was looking at the view. Vehicles aren't mm-hmm. sparkling, so I can't take them out. You know, there's one or two. I think there was like two things that you could take out that were swirling yeah. around. But there was just jump and one to the next.
There's like
and then you see this huge crate
I
of...
I was so upset yeah. because I didn't know... Because of the camera angle, I didn't know it was a jump. I walked straight off the edge. And I was like, are you kidding me? This is supposed to be the big boss battle. And the way to the big boss battle... Why? And then it was like that moment you realize, oh, infinite flare gun ammo just right here.
You know.
It's like, okay.
And then I'm like, I'm looking at the tornado going, what exactly? Am I supposed to like eliminate the vehicles one by one? Or nope, it's just like find that magic thing you're supposed to be shooting and just shoot at it.
Standing next to the flare gun dispenser, I like sat there and just shot it like 20 times, and did get rid of the school bus, but mm-hmm. some of them could get destroyed. Then I realized, like, okay, I guess I just got to jump to the next level, and then it's like two shots into their tornado, it's done.
Yeah, it starts to rumble. Like, yeah, once you get the clue that you hit the right spot when it, you know, it glows and it rumbles. Mm-hmm. Oh, there it is. Okay, that's what I'm supposed to shoot.
And then,
at least like, most games, when you face the big boss, they all, I mean, it's a meme, you know, and it's a troll to be sure, but, you know, all the big bosses have these glowing areas that, oh, that's where I'm supposed to shoot.
Right.
So you destroy their tornado, achievement pops, and then...
Yeah.
Then Alan dives off the cliff into the lake. And
yeah, all right. And okay.
Then you,
I guess.
And then you go into in dream apartment.
Territory.
Yeah.
You wake up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy, you know?
Uh-huh.
And,
uh-huh.
And, oh, look, there's Alice still wearing no pants. Guess what? She doesn't wear pants the rest of the game.
Alice, did you run away from home because Alan wouldn't let you wear clothes?
It's like, that's the thing, like, because Alan's still fully dressed. He doesn't have any different clothes this entire game.
Come back to bed, Alan, with your tweed jacket on.
Exactly. And then there's that whole, it's like, I almost wish if they were going to do that, would have been more effective to like try to play it up a little more where it's not obviously a last stitch dream by the Dark Lord or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cause like there was a part where it's like, she's like, have you taken your pills? Maybe we should call Dr. Hartman. And it's like, I think that would have been cool to like throw back to like, what if Alan did create all this in his head, you know, it's like,
yep.
But no, it's just, it's very obvious. He's ghost.
Yeah. It would have been, yeah, I think they should have given it maybe like 2 or 3 minutes and then like ease you into figuring it out versus yeah, like from the get-go.
You don't have the clicker because maybe you shouldn't have jumped into a lake off a cliff holding it in your hand. Then there's...
He introduces... Zane introduces you to his doppelganger, and I'm like, what is this? What is this all about?
Yeah.
Like, I love how nonchalant Zane is like, this is Mr. Scratch. Your friends will meet him when you're gone. Okay, bye, next scene. It. Like, Mr. Scratch is just smiling evilly, and I'm assuming the DLC will talk about this. I do know in the second, or the pseudo-sequel game, the Alan Wake's American Nightmare shooter arcade game.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Scratch, bad guy in that game. I find it hard to believe that they like introduced him just for that weird spinoff game that no one knew about, came out years later. So I imagine that this mostly has to involve Mr. Scratch. I'll have to send you guys promo videos for the American Nightmare spinoff game. All the promos I could find about that game are Mr. Scratch, and it's all FMV, just the Alan Wake actor just hamming it up, being an evil Alan Wake named Mr. Scratch, and it is hilarious. It is the best thing ever. Like, they did, there's even a commercial where he's reading reviews after the game came out, reading the reviews as Mr. Scratch, and like he like killed all the Remedy team, and like he's reading, and he reads like one of the reviews that talks about British actors blah 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 who plays Mr. Scratch does a great performance, like like turns and stares at the camera, and he's like, what? And his eye like twitches, and there's like this weird meta matrix moment, and then he like
oh god,
it's like it's wild and crazy, and it's like I want to play that game just because Mr. Scratch sounds so much more fun than Alan Wake.
Yes.
But that was a weird thing to just tag on to this story. It's like, wait, what? And then, you know, going to the... I thought it was cool that they did the whole, like, right, you know, or the words. Like,
oh, yeah. Thing.
I thought that was kind of cool.
Cause that was
the, fun, the like... telephones. I answered all the telephones.
Mm-hmm.
I wish, like, that kind of thing. I made a really cool puzzle with that mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
if that had happened throughout the game.
Yeah, like, think about like, you don't want to just shine the light on everything. Like, you need to choose which words will help you, you know?
Yeah,
exactly. That would have been a really cool mechanic. Like, I was afraid to shine the light on any word that said bird, because it's like, yeah. I was like, no crows. And also, there's that one moment where it's like, Alice, there's a voiceover of Alice, like, about how she like is leaving Alan.
Oh yeah.
Everything. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I mean, at this point of the game, I didn't expect an actual twist because game didn't train me for that. I was like, that would have been like a good twist if Alan's like really is crazy and he like wrote this crazy whole thing up,
right?
Because Alice was actually going to leave him.
Exactly. And this is all part because of that. Yeah.
What a terrible person.
Well, we've already established he is.
Right, yeah. It's like, exactly, but it's like, the whole thing is like, yeah.
Yeah, and...
domestic abuse to the max.
Yeah. Yeah, and... but, anyways, you do that, Alan goes into the... Well, no, he kills Jagger, Dark Presence.
With the clicker! Finally! The clicker
by shoving it...
into her heart.
Used to be.
Yeah.
And then... then, like, just turns her off, clicks her on.
Not even.
I don't know.
Just, yeah, like, the only click.
The clapper. Kind of. It's the clapper. Clap on, clap off. The clapper.
Yeah. It's like, oh, if it was that simple. Then he goes and goes up to the typewriter and he starts typing. Then it cuts to Alice swimming out of the lake.
Mm-hmm.
No clothes on.
No.
And she's just like, it's like, even then, it's like almost like Alice had to save herself because she had to swim from the bottom of this lake.
Yeah.
Yep. Like, she was swimming for a very long time.
Couldn't have her writer waking up at the shore, Alan? Gosh.
No. She has to climb the splintered, broken...
yeah, barefoot.
You know she got so many splinters.
Freezing cold.
And, like, not even, like, having, like... Harry or the sheriff, like, be there. It's like, no, right. She's all alone.
And that's where you're going to leave
her. Alan. And then the camera zooms. This is what Droby does. It does this big cinematic camera.
Oh, yeah, sweep.
Zooms out, then goes back to the town. And the town is celebrating Deer Fest, and everyone is happy. And that not everybody shows that Rose is now the crazy lamp lady.
Menacingly holding the lamp, yeah.
And then behind Rose, I only caught it last
second. Nightingale
staring all creepy. Like,
I don't know if it was creepy or like he was frightened or something. It looked like frightened to me. I don't know.
Maybe then it's like
Rose is holding him. Maybe I don't know.
Like, it's also I noticed like they showed a lot of the NPCs you met along the way.
Yep.
Like the other crazy like sheriff lady who is like, oh, how you doing?
Yeah.
Or whatever it is.
Like, didn't show Blake.
They didn't show Barry the sheriff or Weaver. As far as like the townspeople go, they showed Pat, the doctor,
right,
and didn't show any of the people that died, like Stucky or Rusty or Dr. Hartman. So it's like, I think it means like everyone who you saw die in this game
actually died,
right.
Like,
who knows? I mean, you know,
it's like
Alan didn't write them back into the story.
I know, like,
or whoever the new writer is.
I know, yeah. And then, don't see Barry, you don't see the sheriff, you don't see Weaver. You know, Rose is holding a lamp now, so it's like, I don't understand. And then we cut back to Alan, who's still typing. Last page, we get the final words. It's not a lake. It's an ocean. Credits. And it's like
what?
You know, it's like,
see, I thought to myself immediately, this is a classic example of one sentence too many. He should have just looked up and said, it's not a lake. And then cut. And then black screen. You know, that would have been perfect. That would have been like, okay, kicks you off for the sequel. But now you gotta say it's an ocean and everybody's going, what?
Yeah.
What do you mean an ocean?
It's like,
what the heck is that supposed to mean?
So is Alan possessed by the dark spirit now? Like,
who knows? Yeah,
is this the ending that Alan wrote? Like, Alice is free, but I am
trapped in the lake.
Come on,
I'm trapped.
That's what Zane couldn't do. He had to sacrifice himself, or did he do the same thing Zane did and like write himself out of existence or whatever?
Right. Well, Zane's in a diver suit somewhere, you know. Well, he got
Zane. The volcanic eruption.
Yeah.
Don't know.
The whole thing.
Zane wrote himself into a much better video game.
BioShock.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's like,
where are they going to leave you? Yeah.
That was the base game. That was the game you bought and played back in, what was it, 2010. Wow.
And after I finished, I'm like, all right, to be fair, you know, it's 2010. Let me go back and see what released in 2010.
What other games came out 2010?
Oh, my God. Mass Effect 2, Red Dead Redemption, the first one, God of War 3,
Super Mario Galaxy 2, Call of Duty Black Ops,
Heavy Rain, which was great,
Amnesia, BioShock 2, Call of Duty Vegas, all these, like, Hardware defying games.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if there's anything.
Alan Wake.
Anything in the genre that would even. Well, I guess Red Dead. I mean, was this a $59.90?
Oh. Deadly Premonition came out in 2010.
When this released, was it a $59 game?
I don't know what game prices were. I think so. I think
money.
The game prices in 2010 were.
Yeah.
Game.
You know, and Fallout New Vegas.
Yeah.
So it's like.
I'm pretty sure Vegas has been $60 for a while.
Yeah, and BioShock too.
BioShock was a $60 game for sure.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. I mean, I feel like this game still would have felt pretty clunky.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It's like it would have been tough to make the top 10 that year for it.
It's interesting that Heavy Rain came out the same year, because it's like it almost controls like a Quantic Dream game.
Yeah,
with a lot of shooting mechanics.
Yeah, I mean it just needed to be a little better. You know, the story was solid for the most part. Some very large loopholes and strange zigzags and tropey stuff. And it's like, and the character, you know, he's not a very endearing character. You don't find yourself
wanting to
play him, you know.
And it's just a Barry mode.
Right?
Barry and his Christmas lights.
Oh, man, that would have been great. I would have bought that in a heartbeat. The sequel should be Barry looking for Alan. There it is.
Alan!
Okay, so I'm going to post this. I'll post my stats, but what's the deal? Oh, there it is. Alan. What's with the alarm clocks? I
never saw a single alarm clock. So
no.
I have the stuff on the thing I didn't find. So it was like, cardboard standees, didn't find. Night Spring video games, didn't find.
Maybe they're all in nightmare mode?
Maybe. Or maybe they're the two DLCs.
I thought that one of the Night Spring games was at the...
There was one sitting on the lodge, you know,
in the lodge, Hart, yeah.
But I couldn't pick it up. It wouldn't let me pick it up.
Aww.
Yeah. I was really hoping after the credits rolled, there was going to be some, like, completion window kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
I really wanted, like, a Resident Evil kind of thing. It's like, oh, you can now use your coffee thermoses as a, like, currency. Yeah. Unlock infinite flare gun ammo from the start of the game. Because then that would have given me incentive to replay this game again on nightmare mode to get more manuscripts, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. When you're, like, you know, a boss and you could just, you know, laugh at the hordes.
But, nope. Or even, like, a reskin. Like, so many games in 2010 were doing reskins. Just unlock a Barry skin. It's like, you don't have to change the cutscenes or anything. Just make Alan Wake look like Barry running around through the entire game. That would have made me want to replay the entire game again. You know?
Barry with Christmas lights and headlamp.
Yeah, like that reminds me of...
I missed the TV show? I am shocked.
I missed two.
I thought I got them all. Damn it.
Just frankly, those last two episodes, I couldn't be bothered.
I didn't find a TV the last two.
They
Where was
just
the,
okay.
Was there a last TV in the last episode? I don't know.
No, I didn't. I had 12 out of 14 TVs.
There wasn't, at least in chapter 6, there wasn't any breathing room. It was just like, horde after horde after, you know, moving on from one area to the next.
I'm sure there's probably a lot of stuff you missed by that last episode from driving all the way down. But, yeah.
Yeah, plus, I mean, that's general with the forests areas.
So did you see the one where the dude gets beat up by some other people in the woods? That was in episode 4.
Oh.
And then there's one where there's like a black hole in this woman's basement.
Saw that one.
I know. I didn't see that one. Those were the two I was missing.
It had to be in the last two chapters because I don't remember seeing a TV show at the last two chapters. Anything in 5 or 6?
Episode 5 is the one with the black hole. Black hole. Uh huh. After you cross the bridge, go to the building to the left opposite the tow truck.
Yeah, I saw that one. Okay, so Yeah, I thought I had. I thought I was on the right path to get them all, but I guess not, because they were easy. They usually were in your way.
Then apparently, I'll send give you this link in Alan Wake's American Nightmare. They talk about another episode that's not actually shown that Alan writes as like an out.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what I from what I've learned about American Nightmare is that like the entire game itself is supposed to be a Night Springs episode that Alan Wake wrote. I'm gonna play. I'm gonna buy that and play that on my own, even though it's like it's just an arcadey shooter. It. If they, I want to see what. Shooting mechanics would look like if they like made them good. From what I've read on reviews, that's what it is. Although it, and I said this last week, it's hilarious picking up reviews for American Nightmare because they're all talking about how this was an Xbox Live exclusive, and like that was the big deal about it. Not because it was Xbox exclusive. No, it was. It was online only. It was digital only release for a big video game.
Oh,
this work? It was like it's so weird to think about now. but yeah. So, anyways, I guess closing out. Unless we have wild theories now that. Main game is completed. And I'll not be bothered anymore.
Not really.
Yeah. Night Trap, something Night Trap.
I just saw that the alarm clocks are from a DLC, The Signal.
Okay. All right. Good. We didn't miss anything.
I'm assuming the cardboard standees are probably from that too.
So next week, we normally would like give our final thoughts, but we have an extra week set aside for Alan Wake. So this week we'll play the two DLC episodes, The Signal and The Writer. I think from what I can gather that both of those are as long as your average episode. And so we'll discuss those two, the two DLCs next week, and then give our final verdicts and score it. And we'll be moving on into November, which I was a good host. I would have had what that November game is. But I don't. Next week, Alan Wake still. Woo! So thanks for hanging out. Thanks for listening to us. You can find Game Chat all the places you can find podcasts, you know, the Spotify, the Amazon, the Stitcher, the Google Plays. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, leave us a review or a question by sending an email to us, a chat with us at game at thegamechat.net. Hang out, join our Discord, chat with us, maybe join the chat. Send us pictures of dogs and not enough dogs at thegamechat.net. Send us pictures of dogs. Don't get enough of those.
No, need more dogs.
And yes, November 9th, we're playing Not Tonight. Is on Steam and Switch and was F's must play. So until next week, thanks for listening and we'll chat at you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Don't forget to turn on the lights.